Rainmaker FM.
This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? Welcome back to The Showrunner, the podcast for people dedicated to creating remarkable audio experiences for their audience. This is episode number 81. I am your host, Jared Morris, VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital, and I will be joined momentarily, as I always am, by my reluctant storyteller of a co-host, Johnny Naster, the host of Hack the Entrepreneur. This episode is brought to you by Audible. More on them later, but if you love audiobooks or have always wanted to give them a try, you can check out over 180,000 titles right now at audibletrial.com/rainmaker. So, Johnny, we are coming up to the end of 2016, approaching 2017. And so we're ending 2016 with a bang, with a three-part series. We did part one last week, in which we talked about how you can systematize better in 2017. Next week, we have another special episode planned to end the year. And this week, we're going to talk about a topic near and dear to your heart that you planned for us and put together. And I'm excited about it.
Yes. Why am I a reluctant storyteller? How? Why? Where? Am I a reluctant storyteller?
Because,
where is this coming from?
Because just this was 10 minutes ago. We were testing out the audio on Zoom to see if we wanted to record over there. And I needed some good audio from you. And I told you to tell me a story. And you said, I don't have any stories. But then went on to tell me a great story about mid-roll. Maybe not a great story, but a story. About mid-roll.
Wow. Mid-roll is the sponsor of today's episode. Yeah. No, they're not.
No.
That's true. So I didn't recall me saying I don't have a story. That's terrible. I shouldn't say that because I do obviously have.
Yeah, you have stories. You have stories. It's all good, man.
It's the reluctance to tell a good story.
That's right. But you are not a reluctant showrunner by any means. We know that. And today we're going to talk about some ways to become better showrunners in 2017. And specifically, we're going to talk about tips for better hosting, better speaking, better mic skills in what we are calling, Johnny,
professional podcasting tips for pristine production and hosting hacks.
Oh, such great alliteration. It's beautiful. It really is.
All right. That was written just for that.
It was great. All right, let's do this.
All right. All right, so we learned last week So this, remember in the intro, all that great alliteration that I did?
And enunciation.
And enunciation. This is a last episode we talked about systemization of your show and why it's essential to sort of taking your show, I think, from just being a podcast to becoming a show and you becoming a showrunner yourself. But with today's topic, I think that all that systemization really doesn't matter too much if you don't hone your hosting skills. I think that this is sort of the basis of it. And if you don't have this, then there's nothing to systematize and you should probably come back to this episode. And so in thinking about this episode, I was trying to think about the technical side and then the other side, which I couldn't find a name for it. I actually sat here looking at this for a while because there are the two sides to, as I'm going to call it, professional sort of podcasting, or as we like to call it on the show, show running. And they are the how and the what. is the best that I could come up with. So the how is that technical side, right? Which sometimes we get stuck in that side, the mics, the editing, the soundproofing of our rooms, Jared in his closet recording with all the clothes around him.
That was like 75 episodes ago.
So that to me is the how, right? That's how we do it. But it's not really what we're doing. The what is that content, the research, the listener journeys. These are all things that you can go back and listen to full episodes about listener journeys and content and research. And those are, to me, I like to say that those are, well, I'm not even going to say I like to say, those to me are more important. The what is really important once the how is at sort of a baseline, but I know that it's not the same for every showrunner, and it shouldn't be the same because obviously if you're running a show that's more story based and very heavy in editing, then that how is really, really essential to bringing the what in the full way. So I understand and I appreciate that us, you and I, Jared, plus everyone out there listening, all showrunners are going to assign sort of different weights to either side of the how what equation. But to get this sort of started, Jared, I just want to know your thinking behind it. And you can take it from either the showrunner or else your own show, like the Assembly Call. If it's different, I'm not sure. It might be. But what is that ratio, and how do you weigh the how and the what?
Well, I think the point that you brought up about context is very important, because the context is key. And you know, how they answer this question on This American Life or Radio Lab is going to be a lot different than the showrunner or the Assembly Call. There's no question. And so that is important. For me, and I do, you know, the Assembly Call, which is a post-game show, you know, our show, which is a discussion show, Digital Entrepreneur is an interview show, Podcast on the Brink a lot of times is an interview show. You know, it's conversational. And it's typically around a specific topic. And so people are coming to these episodes, you know, looking for information about a specific topic, not necessarily to be entertained by the ambiance of the audio. There's not a whole lot of complicated music and sound effects and transitions and all of that. So for the context of my shows, the what is a lot more important than the how. And that is a decision that I have come to very intentionally. And, you know, if people go back and listen to the very first episode of The Showrunner, we did a lot more kind of with audio and music and all of that stuff. And I think at that time, maybe our vision for where The Showrunner might go had a little bit more to do with the how than the what. But we've focused much more on the what as we've gone here. But to me, it's 80-20. I focus, you know, a lot more on the content part of it, the research, planning a good, succinct, useful episode, but making sure that the audio hits that minimum level of quality. And it's funny because I was listening to a new show. I get on these kicks where, you know, I get sick of all the podcasts I have, and so I just go, you know, subscribe to a whole bunch of new ones just to try out some new ones. And I'm going through them, and there was a conversation that I was really interested in. It was like a conversation about parenting tips, and I was really interested in it, but the audio was so bad that after like 5 or 6 minutes, I was like, I can't do it. Like, I really want to hear what they're going to say, but I just need to go on and read a transcript. I can't do it. So there is a line where no matter how good your content is, this is audio, it's got to be good enough. But I really feel like, you know, the biggest benefit is coming from the content and the information. So that's always where I'm going to focus the majority of my time and my effort. But you can't do it so much to the point that you don't reach that minimum level of quality.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably why I sort of almost forget about it. Like you mentioned, we don't have the fancy cuts and all that. I don't have that in either of the shows that I'm on. But I sort of do to a point with Hack the Entrepreneur, but it was literally sort of set up within the first 20 episodes. I really sort of honed that in, and now we just stick to it. And now it's just me making sure I keep up that 80% of quality for the audio. Because you're right, if it drops below that, which gets hard sometimes when you have a guest on your show who might not be set up as a professional podcaster, you do have to work with that. And you can work with that, again, within the how, because you can edit better, you can do things to fix things, you can make sure you use proper technologies to record. And hopefully even set your guest up for the success by like making sure they're in a good room with a good Wi-Fi connection and stuff. And those are all things that we should focus on.
You know what's interesting about that too with the guests? Like this episode that I was talking about before that I couldn't listen to anymore. The reason why is because the host and the guest audio was terrible. If the host audio had been okay, literally, even for like the 30 to 45 seconds when she was, you know, asking the questions and then it goes over to the guest for 5 minutes, I could have done that. I literally could have done that. It's just kind of a weird thing. It's like listening to a show where just all the audio is terrible. And it doesn't even set you up in the beginning with nice, clean audio to, like, you know, welcome you nicely into the house is kind of how I look at it. It's set up a bad, just, you know, from the beginning, and I just couldn't do it. So you can get by if your guest audio is, now you don't want to, obviously, you want that to be as good as possible, but you can get by if your audio is good and at least orients people around some good audio. So it's, I don't know if you find that, but as a podcast listener, that's how I always end up feeling.
Yeah, and I think that probably comes from radio. Lots of radio interviews where they have people on, like part of a story, and their audio can be terrible, noisy, they're out like somewhere and things are going on. They're not in a professional studio. But as long as it's going back to the, oh, this is based around a professional and a professional sound, then it's cool.
Hey, okay, but you know what's interesting about that? So you and I were old enough that we grew up listening to radio. Newer, and so we're kind of oriented in that way. Newer generations who didn't grow up listening to radio and all they know is clean audio, I wonder if they feel the same way. Or if even if guest audio is bad, if they shudder at it. I wonder if we need to put ourselves about 15, 20 years younger and see how other folks feel. Because that may be how we feel about it, but I wonder if people who didn't grow up with radio feel the same.
That's true. I guess we wouldn't know that. I know that it skews lower, where I think that people of us beyond, like below a certain age, actually still start listening to podcasts. I think our higher age bracket listens to more podcasts, at least to my show, definitely.
Yeah.
And I would think that that's because we came from radio.
I would think
we just wanted to be able to listen to it on demand.
Yeah.
Because that's just how we want it now, right?
Yeah.
But we still wanted the format that we grew up with because we like it and we enjoy it. We know we get stuff from it.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, to answer that question, just important to know your audience, know what they like and what they'll put up with.
Always.
Yeah. Where do you, how do you, the how, the what, what's your percentage? What weights?
I think I'd be even going to go even further to like 90-10.
Whoa.
As long as that's like, because I know and trust that my audio is at the right level. And like, cause I don't do my own editing. I use Call Recorder every single time. I use Skype every single time. I just have a format of doing the recording setup, and I know that it hits. I know when I cringe when I go back to the first 30 episodes that I edited myself and I thought I was really good at, but they sound awful because I just didn't know what I was doing. But then I outsourced it. Like, I systematized the process, like we talked in the last episode, and then I figured out how to get somebody else to do it who was way better. So now that I trust him to be doing my episodes, I can completely almost put it out of my head. So it's just, so it's like 90-10 of what I'm thinking, but as a show itself and as a production, it's probably 50-50 because I know that it's just as important, but it's no longer my job to make it that good and pristine.
Yeah. So, hey, you prepared 4 D's to pristine production for us. Are you ready to go over those here in just a minute?
I did. I believe they're called the 4 D's to pristine production.
Oh, yes. Yes. The over-enunciation. We love it. That next week, you're going to be my over-enunciating co-host. Alrighty. Real quick before we get to that, this episode of The Showrunner is brought to you by Audible, offering over 180,000 audiobook titles to choose from. Audible seamlessly delivers the worlds of both fiction and nonfiction to your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or computer. And for Showrunner listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check them out. To get started right now, visit audibletrial.com/Rainmaker. Now, why would you want to use Audible? Well, say that you are getting ready to do a podcast recording with your co-host and he asks you to tell him a story and you say, well, I don't have any stories. I don't like telling stories. You're not a storyteller. Well, let one of the 180,000 storytellers on Audible tell you a story. It could be The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield, which is one of my favorite books, or any of the other many, many titles there. If you want to brainwash your children in the car, but you don't want to tell them stories yourself,
It's all coming back today, isn't it, Jared? A whole year's worth?
That's right. That's right. So let the professionals tell the stories when you don't want to. Download your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/rainmaker. Again, that's audibletrial.com/rainmaker.
Now, before we get into the four D's to pristine production, you know, on this show, and especially throughout 2016, as we're sort of looking back over the year, we like to pull back the curtain for you. I just want to tell you that this is one of the first episodes we've ever done with video on.
So
it's
true.
Different. It's different now seeing Jared just staring at me as soon as I look up from either reading or when I'm just thinking and talking, and then I look over and there's Jared just staring at me. It's slightly off-putting, but it's also quite cool. And so,
okay. And do you think it's a coincidence that we've had, I think, much better back and forth in this episode? I think we might want to start doing this on a move forward basis. Like, this is much more conversational, I feel like, than most of our episodes,
especially than that last one. Right? You really
where like, you would just not stop talking.
So I just wanted, this is part of our how. This is part of our technical right now. The way we're doing this is we're actually decided to do it on video, and it's cool.
It's interesting how sometimes the how can bleed into the what, because I think the how, you know, obviously part of the content, and especially on any type of discussion podcast, is the warmth of the conversation, you know, and that, you know, the feeling that people get when they listen. And I think if we can have more interaction and it's better in that sense, you know, that can, the two can really work together well, is what I'm trying to say.
Right. It's true. It's true. So let's close the curtain again, because it's weird back here sometimes. But the four D's to pristine production, these are really on the how, I'm going to say, because they are essential, and we want you to get it to a point where it's either your 80-20, your 90-10, whatever you want it to be, but where you can basically almost forget about it, because it's good enough, it works well, and now you can systematize it and focus on the what, which is really what's going to bring you in audience. So the four D's, the first one is dynamic versus condenser. This sounds really technical and like I know what I'm talking about, but it doesn't go very far beyond this. Dynamic versus condenser are two types of microphones you can buy. I'm not even sure if there are other types, but dynamic and condenser are the two big ones. And the Heil PR40 that Jared and I are both on are dynamic microphones. And there's the one, the Audio-Technica ATR2100, which is, I think, about a fifth or sixth the cost of the Heil, but also really, really good. The reason why I want to push people to use dynamic microphones is because the condensing microphone picks up every room sound around you. And I think this is why you, Jared, struggled at the beginning with having to go into your closet, having to go everywhere to get sound. And I was literally like travel. I would be in different places and I would just set up this microphone and didn't matter what was going on in like the apartments around me or outside. It was just, well, John's just in a studio again, when I wasn't at all. I was literally just plugging into a laptop. And that's because the condenser, which is like the snowflake, the snowball that lots of people use, they sound good for your voice, but they also pick up every single noise around you. So this is like, to me, the ultimate like podcasting hack is if you are looking to get a new microphone, it is Christmas. You can treat yourself maybe. There's a ton. It's not just the Heil PR40, which is a more expensive microphone, or the Audio-Technica. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of different kinds. But when you are making that decision, really look to get a dynamic microphone. You do have to speak closer to it. You can't, because as soon as you start pulling away, it just cuts you off and you don't. That's how it doesn't pick up your sound.
Yep. So this is me right now talking right into my Heil PR40.
And this is me now leaning off to the side, just a little bit off to the side. Did you tell the difference?
Could you tell the difference there?
Yeah, you could barely hear you.
Oh, yeah.
But I could see you. I could still see your shoulder. So he was barely off.
This microphone basically revolutionized how I work, because I'm still in the same very echoey room if you go back and listen to old episodes of The Showrunner, but the difference is night and day. That's
amazing. You don't even have a pop filter on.
Yeah. No, I don't. It's rebelling against the pop filter.
That's why I'm doing all the enunciations and pronunciations and because, you know, he'll pop into the microphone.
Yeah.
So that's D number one, dynamic versus condenser. Stick to dynamic. If you can never remember the two, just remember John and Jared's four Ds.
Yeah.
D number two, dampen your room. If so, this is kind of tied to that, but maybe you aren't ready to get a new microphone. You can dampen your room. You can speak into something soft. Jared did this for hundreds and hundreds of podcast episodes across numerous shows before he had the proper microphone. He would either talk into, so he was facing towards his closet with clothes, soft clothes, or he would be right in the closet sometimes with his fiance at the time. all different ways.
Those were fun episodes.
Yeah, but just think about like a recording studio. They typically have soft walls, even a carpeted room as like compared to like hardwood floors and stuff makes such a difference. If you can even throw down some rugs or some blankets around you, it does help a lot. If you're finding echo in your room and if you're hearing that back in your head, trust me, your listener is going to hear that and it's going to get just too annoying to even listen to. So if you can't go dynamic, make sure to focus and dampen your room till you get the good quality that you want.
Yep.
D number three. This is where we start moving into the what. And this is to do your prep work. So I looked back and episode, what was it? I have it here. Episode 58 on May 11th, 2016. I'll link to it in the show notes. But we went over how to plan engaging interviews. And so this to me is professional hosting, right? You have to do your prep work. We all love to make it sound like we're just going with the flow, that we're just having a conversation sort of off the cuff. And that's kind of the ultimate goal you want it to sound like. But the only way to do this is to research your guest, define the topic, get some sort of baseline questioning, and then figure out what sort of journey it is you need to take your guest on so that your listener gets what they need to out of the episode. I do this with Hack the Entrepreneur by clearly defining my opening question and my ending question. And depending on where the conversation goes, I know that I have to get from the beginning to the end in a logical sequence for my listener. And then I can sort of work the conversation to fit and hit the points to get there. It's absolutely essential. Trust me, the more it sounds like you are just going off the cuff and going with the flow, the more research you've put in on the back end. So please don't be one of those people just like, no, I'm just going to not learn anything about my guest first. I'm just going to learn it all there because it doesn't make for a good conversation. It doesn't make for a good show and it doesn't help your listener get to where they need to go.
Yeah. And I would add to that, you know, even if you're not doing an interview show, doing prep work is still important. So for the showrunner, we had I don't know how many shows we did this for, maybe 10, 20, where we just kind of, you know, showed up and talked about a topic. And I think things got a lot better when we started outlining, you know, like having this here, the four Ds to pristine production. So we don't script everything, obviously, but we have a pretty, basic structure that we follow, which really helps. And I've even started doing this on the assembly call, which is obviously a very free-flowing show because you can't really prepare that much when you're watching a game and talking about it right away. But I have a run sheet that we go over, which has my intro and has the ad reads and has certain segments of the show so that I never, you know, mess up or get tripped up or miss something. And so it, you know, that ability to kind of host and kind of all give off the impression that I'm always in control of what's going on, well, that's because I've prepared what's going to happen next. And yes, we're going to fit in, you know, these kind of impromptu topics, but we know right where they fit in within the show. And now that we're actually doing a radio show in Indianapolis, that's been another lesson in the importance of prep work. Because on that, we have 48 minutes and we have to divvy it up into four different segments. And the time's got to be really precise. And so when you only have that little bit of time and you've got certain topics that you want to get in and out of, and then, you know, some ad reads in there, you've got to be very precise. And so we go through, and some of that I will actually script. Now, I'll read it over three or four times so that when I deliver it on the recording, it sounds natural, but there's a lot of preparation that goes in there. So now, by scripting it and by really choosing my words carefully, I can say in 45 seconds what it might have taken me 2 minutes to say just off the cuff. and that delivers something better to my audience. And it's just, it's all about the prep work and putting in the time, you know, to make sure that you give the best and most concise explanation of whatever it is that you can.
Yeah. If I was able to, or if I was allowed to pick a hack for these episodes, it would be what you just said right now, where you want to give off the impression that you always know what's going on.
Yeah, well, you do.
I know, it's so awesome though. But to hear it actually vocalized, you want to give that impression. You don't actually want to know what's going on at all times. You just need to give that impression as a showrunner.
Yeah, well, you do. And I guess, I mean, look, to give that impression, you do kind of have to know. So I suppose that's maybe being a little bit too self-deprecating, because I do know what's going on. But the reason why is because of that preparation. So I guess what I should say is give off the impression that I know what's going on. Totally just, oh man, he just sat down and I can't believe he's coming up with this stuff and everything's so organized. What they don't see is I'm looking at a run sheet that goes, you know, kind of almost minute by minute where we're going next, what we're doing next, and filling it in as we go.
You know, that's the whole impression of going with the flow and just like, I'll just see where the conversation goes. It's like when that works really well, there's a run sheet in the background and there's something being followed. It's not just somebody sitting there just making it up as they go and knows nothing about their guest. Yeah. Trust me, it's just not how it works, but it's how it appears to look. So use that advice. So D number four, this goes well with last week's episode and the first part in this three-part series, which is once you've figured out your 80-20 rule, you've got your audio to the right level of production, then if you can, delegate your production. Should just be delegate your production since we're looking for D's. But delegating your production is something that will allow you to take that 80-20 and change it into a 90-10 if you want, or so you don't even have to worry about it and the production level. So Jared and I are lucky. We have Toby in the background that gets to edit this for us and make it sound beautiful without us doing, as long as we get it to a certain level and then we hand it off, it all comes together. I get to do that with my show as well. And it just, it takes it off of my plate and gets me to focus on the what, which really I think then elevates the show and the show running of it to that next level. So of course you can't do it right away. It took me 30 episodes getting my first sponsor and then being able to do that. But when you can, and if you can, you're going to listen to that episode before this, systematize, and then delegate your production out.
Yep. And I definitely wouldn't start delegating. Even if you can in the beginning, I would do it yourself so that you learn some of the basics of editing and you learn, get a frame of reference for how long something takes, how difficult something is. And sure, you know, there's going to be people like Toby that can do it probably 15 times better than you can, which is how I feel, you know, when he's editing our stuff. But I can do it. Like, I know how to go in and do it. And that's a good place to be in, because if something happens and that person, you know, like your audience on Wednesday morning doesn't care that your editor didn't show up on Tuesday night. They care about getting their episode. And so what happens if the person that you're delegating to can't do it? You've got to be the failsafe. You've got to be the one to step in at the end. So the basics of what it takes to get your show out to your audience, you should know how to do all of them, both so that you can delegate effectively, so that you can gauge quality and how long something takes, and so that in worst case scenarios, you can step in and do it. Because sometimes you have to if you want to keep your schedule and if you want to keep that show going. So definitely delegate when you can and to kind of take that next step. But I would really urge people not to jump to that step too quickly. Hopefully you've had a great 2016 and you're ready for that step. But if you're a new showrunner listening to this, 2017, the first few months may be best for you to learn, really dive into those elements that you want to delegate, learn about them, and then delegate them a little bit later once you know them.
Exactly. So the four D's to pristine production, I'm going to add a fifth D really quick, but let's just wrap it back up. So dynamic versus condenser when choosing your microphone. Number two is to dampen the room to get that nice studio quality. The third one is do your prep work, right? Do the research, do the work to set it up so that you sound like you are kind of just going with the flow. And then four will be, if you can, delegate your production. And then we're adding this fifth one, as Jared just added so well is to do it yourself first. So you get the idea of how it's done, get your hands dirty with it and work with it, because it will actually make you better on the other end of recording to show what it takes to fix certain errors and mistakes that you make on the recording side. So that's it. That's our 4 Ds to pristine production.
How about number 6? Dominate. Ooh. Dominate. When you do these, you will dominate. And then number 7, demand the email addresses of your audience members at the end of your episodes, as we are about to do right now. Go to showrunner.fm. Join the showrunner. Get our weekly newsletter. Stay up to date with everything that is going on, especially in 2017, which will be an exciting year. You'll see it. Go to showrunner.fm. There's a place to input your email address right there. We hope you do that. We look forward to you doing it. And we look forward to talking with you on one more episode in 2016 next week. It'll be a fun one.
It will.
It's a surprise topic. And I can reveal it yet. You have to show up next week and we will reveal all to you. And John will tell a story, maybe.
Reluctantly.